arguments. The first case we have is Sloop v. Thomas. And counsel may approach. I will call the name of the case again just before we start the arguments. And so, again, this is Sloop v. Thomas. The appellant may approach. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 90 seconds for rebuttal, please.
All right. You may proceed.
If it may please the court, my name is Adam Richard Little, the law firm Ballew Hazen, and I'm appearing today on behalf of the appellant William Scott Thomas. What brings us before the court today is a modification of a previous order establishing paternity, custody, and support. Before I begin into the legal argument, would the court like a brief recitation of the facts?
Sure.
Okay. These are two parties who were never married, and they have three minor children together, twin boys that were born in 2011 and a daughter that was born in 2013. In 2014, the parties entered into a joint stipulation, which was then approved by the court, and an order establishing paternity, custody, parenting time, and support was approved and entered in November of 2014. The case that is before the court today arises from the parties' competing complaints for modification that were filed in 2016. The parties also had competing citations for contempt at that time as well. The district court in this case determined that there was not a material change in circumstances with respect to Mr. Thomas's complaint to modify custody and declined to do so. However, the court then did determine that there was a material change in circumstances with respect to the appellee's complaint to modify. The court modified the legal custody from joint to sole legal custody with Ms. Sloop. The court also significantly reduced Mr. Thomas's parenting time from a liberal 10-4 schedule with 8.5 hours of parenting time during the off week to a 12-2 schedule with only 2.5 hours during the off week.
Did the court indicate what the material change in circumstances
were? Yes, and that is one of the primary issues here in this case, Your Honor. The material change in circumstances was the acrimonious relationship between the parties and their inability to communicate effectively. However, and that actually brings me to my first point, we believe that that is not a material change in circumstances sufficient to modify the decree in this case. Specifically, the court cannot rely on circumstances that existed at the time of the original order to hold that it is a material change in circumstances. In this case, both parties admit that they had an acrimonious relationship going back before the original decree.
But and did they not agree at the time of the original decree that despite that, that they would have joint legal custody?
That is correct. They recognized that despite their communication issues, they would still continue to exercise joint legal custody over the minor children. And so we believe that the relationship between the parties has not deteriorated in any fashion from where it was previously. These are two young people who had an acrimonious relationship, and they certainly have some difficulty communicating effectively. We will concede that my client, Mr. Thomas, certainly has made some less than flattering comments, and we would contend that those comments were immature, things that he has learned from and is doing his best to continue to improve. In fact, following the second day of trial, there's evidence that Mr. Thomas had improved in his communication style, but that Ms. Sloop continued to name call, jab, denigrate him, and otherwise frustrate their ability to communicate. The standard of review here in this case is an abuse of discretion, and the abuse of discretion occurs when the court bases its decision on reasons that are untenable or unreasonable, or if its action is clearly against justice, conscience, reason, and evidence. We believe that it was an abuse of discretion to arbitrarily reduce Mr. Thomas's parenting time, regardless of their communication difficulties. From a 10-4 schedule with 8.5 hours on the off day to a 12-2 schedule with only 2.5 hours of parenting time. Now, in its order, the district court made a detailed analysis regarding the legal custody and its material change in circumstances, as we just discussed. But it made no similar analysis with respect to its reduction in parenting time. It simply stated, we're going to reduce the parenting time, and here's the new schedule. This is an abuse of discretion, because at no point is there any evidence in the record to indicate that the communication difficulties between the parties had a negative impact on the children's best interests. The reduction here in the parenting time is arbitrary. It's capricious. It's punitive. Mr. Thomas is a fit parent. The parties agree that both parents are active, fit parents who love their children and want to spend as much time with them as possible. The court acknowledged that as well. Yet to arbitrarily reduce his parenting time, in our view, is an abuse of discretion and merits reversal. This court determined in McDonald v. McDonald that when it comes to a modification, an acrimonious relationship that was not anything new was not a basis for a reduction in that parenting time. In this case, this court also recently decided in Hall v. Hall that those circumstances that existed previously before the prior order were not a basis for that for a material change in circumstances.
So on the material change in circumstance, isn't it if there's a change of which the court would have known before, mm-hmm. it would not have ordered had it did.
Correct.
So how does that play in, since this was kind of a stipulated deal to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something mm-hmm. the court was aware of, right?
That's correct.
So how do we find that it's not a material change because now the court is aware of it?
If there isn't any evidence of that, I would concede that that is difficult here for the court to make that determination. However, I would point to the record, which both of the parties acknowledged that they entered into that agreement with the understanding they had some communication issues. And so to take it to the logical conclusion, if a party or parties are able to stipulate to something knowing that these circumstances exist, it's allowing the parties to game the system, to essentially sit back and then go in and modify whenever they choose because they don't get along. Those circumstances existed, and we really need to look at what's affecting the best interests of the children here as well. So even if this court does determine that there is a material change in circumstances, the record does not support that the modification was consistent with the children's best interests. Nothing in the record suggests that the parties' communication issues had a negative impact on the children's best interests.
Does the reduction in parenting time affect the number of contacts that the parents have with each other over that 14-day period?
No. It was simply reducing the period of time over the weekend from 4 days to 2 days. It also reduced his time from 8.5 hours to 2.5 hours. The court also modified the transportation requirements where the parties roughly split them to now requiring Mr. Thomas to conduct 100% of the transportation, which further reduced his parenting time with the children.
Mr. Hazen, I want to go back to the legal custody issue a little bit. The court struck paragraphs 21 and 22 from the parenting plan, but left 23 in. And under 23, it still requires that the parents discuss significant matters regarding the children prior to a decision being made. How much different is that really than what the mother already had final decision-making authority? So, mm-hmm. So I mean, I know we've now said it's no longer joint and it's sole, but as a practical matter, is there that much difference in what the arrangement is now?
It from a practical matter, doesn't change things significantly. However, we would argue that it further incentivizes Ms. Sloop to disregard Mr. Thomas in her decision making. Under the joint legal custody from the previous order, Ms. Sloop refused to communicate with Mr. Thomas. She would often just simply not talk to him about things because she didn't want to get into an argument. And then she would wield that final decision making as kind of a sword to say, oh, I don't have to because I can decide. Now, by changing it to sole legal custody, we believe that she'll be even further incentivized not to bring any of these issues to Mr. Thomas. And that it actually brings to a light another concern that her decision making is suspect in this case, and perhaps she was not the parent best suited to be awarded the legal custody. For example, the minor children were enrolled in preschool, and she wanted to enroll them in kindergarten the following year. Their educator said they were not ready. Mr. Thomas said they were not ready. She went ahead and did it anyways. Those parties were correct. The kids weren't ready. They were held back. That's an indication of one of the examples of her decision-making being suspect. There are numerous other instances in the record that we would direct the court to look at that would reflect poorly on that. For these reasons, we would ask that the court reverse and remand this issue with respect to the legal custody as well as the modification in the parenting time. I would like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shanahan?
Morning, judges. I'd like to reserve 90 seconds for rebuttal, if that's allowed.
You don't have a rebuttal.
Okay. I was just going to ask for it. Sorry, this is
but
my first time
to
begin me. Yeah. All right. So, may it please the court, my name is Ben Shanahan. I'm here for Stoll Law Office. I represent Maggie Slope, who's the appellee in this matter. Mr. Little, he had a correct recitation of the facts. I'd like to add a couple facts to kind of complete the whole story. He mentioned the acrimonious relationship that existed between the parties. It wasn't just the acrimonious relationship. There's other things that Mr. Thomas had done that kind of created or, I guess, intensified the acrimonious relationship that existed between the parties. The trial court did find that he had hired a private investigator to follow Ms. Slope around, that she then found out about, which obviously scared her to know that someone was following her around. She then found out it was Mr. Thomas, and so that kind of broke down communication between the parties. And that took place after the original parenting plan was entered.
What evidence is there in the record that it's in the children's best interest to have reduced time with their dad?
Well, the court mentions his comments that he made, and Mr. Little touched on those text messages that he had
How
sent.
How does that affect the kids? I mean, is there any evidence that the kids know about those?
Well, not to my knowledge, they don't know about the text messages, but the fact that he had someone following her around when the kids were in her possession could have caused an unsafe, confrontation between my client and who had the kids with Mr. Slope. It just created that fear of not knowing who's watching her, possibly result in some harm to the children just because there's that unknown. The court also had mentioned with regards to the health and safety of the children, Mr. Little mentioned the decision making with regards to daycare and such. Through the testimony, it was made clear that he would not help, or he was unwilling to work with her, with my client to make those kind of decisions initially. He said she wasn't ready. I don't know what kind of qualifications he has to make that determination. He says the teachers told my client that the kids weren't ready, but there's no indication that they had said that, and he refused to talk to other options at that time as well. He also refused to talk to her regarding babysitters, and so that unwillingness to cooperate with her was a detriment to the children.
So sometimes we see a reduction in parenting time in acrimonious relationships for the purposes of cutting down the amount of contact that each parent have, that the parents have with each other. My understanding, though, is this reduction in parenting time does not, and in fact, if you look at, all the kids are in school, right?
Right.
So before, dad was picking up the kids like Thursday at noon or whenever they got out of school, returning them to school on Mondays at 8 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There was no contact between the parents under that situation because the drop-off and pick-off was at school.
Right.
Under the new plan, it's the weekend, like 5 o'clock on Friday. And
right.
So doesn't that create more contact between the parents?
Well, again, I think that was up to the trial court. They determined that extra day, I guess there was, in the trial court's eyes, that did not affect the parents' contact with each other. I want to say the court I guess I just believe that the parents were still having quite a bit of contact with regards to extracurricular activities, all of that kind of stuff. So I don't think there's a big difference between picking him up from school and, you know, on the weekends, him dropping him off at her house. I still believe there's very minimal contact when he does that.
Well, part of the year, at least under the actual parenting plan, it wasn't the Thursday through Monday. It was just Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
And I understand just that from the record there may have been, he may have been actually getting more visitation than mm-hmm. what was allowed during those periods, but mm-hmm. he was by the agreement of the parties, but that technically that's where the parenting plan is Saturday, Sunday, and I think that was like during harvest and mm-hmm. times when he was particularly busy with his farming.
Mm-hmm.
He also gets, under the new order, more summer parenting time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have not cross-appealed that decision, is that correct?
That's correct.
So you're not contesting that he should get the extra 2 weeks in the summer?
We're not contesting that.
Okay. So how much change is there when you factor all those things in? How much change is there in the amount of parenting time that he's getting?
I believe it's around, well, it's still pretty substantial. I believe it's around 60 days, but I'm not sure what reduction.
Okay. So that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's still pretty
okay.
substantial. Mr. Little mentioned McDonald versus McDonald in regards to a material change in circumstances. The court couldn't have been aware of that at the time that the original parenting plan and original decree is entered. Well, in this case, there was no indication at the time the original parenting plan was entered. In that case, there's specific language in the original that stated, you know, these parties should take these certain steps to prevent any hostilities to take place between the parties and break down communication. In our case, that didn't exist. All these developments happened after that original parenting time took place, or parenting plan was signed, sorry. And so I don't think that case is relevant, and it doesn't really apply to this, to our set of facts.
Did McDonald involve a stipulated parenting plan?
It did not, but I still think the court in this case, like you had mentioned, was not aware that communication was an issue because of the way that it was worded. Both parties were to cooperate in full, and it was in the best interest of the children for them to do so. I want to go back to the private detective that was hired to follow our client around. I know that was a big point for the trial court when determining the reduction in parenting time.
Wait, how do you know that? I mean, I didn't read in the order what the basis was.
That was
parenting time. I saw it for a change of custody.
Right. So.
Parenting time.
Well, I guess maybe that's what I mean then, for the reduction in parenting time. So, is that what you mean? Sorry.
Well, I thought the court's the private investigator went to the court's determination of custody, not
right.
to the determination of parenting time. And what I was looking for is something in the court's order that said this is why I'm reducing parenting time. And I don't find it.
Okay. And I guess I don't have that order, and I can't remember exactly what it says, but I thought it was my understanding that was part of kind of the trial court judge's reasoning upon reducing that parenting time, I guess, was all that factors, private detective, the vulgar text messages, and the inability to work with my client to come up with a daycare provider and or preschool provider.
How do you respond to Mr. Little's argument with respect to your client, even under the previous parenting plan, eliminating Mr. Thomas from decision making?
Well, I know she, from the testimony that was given at the time of trial, she did attempt to ask for his opinion, which in which he replied with text messages that stated he wasn't either available or willing to give those answers. I believe my client made every effort to do so. Mr. Little didn't bring this up, but there was one incident where a child was hurt while in her care that he claimed that she didn't take to the hospital right away. There was a hairline fracture she should have told him about that, and they would have went to the hospital. Well, she did have she's an LPN, so there's no signs of injury. There's full range of motion. The children weren't crying or anything like that. But in that instance, she did speak with Mr. Thomas, and again, he didn't advise her on what to do, and he claims that was, you know, her inability to speak with him or unwillingness to speak with him. And I believe my client made every effort to speak with him when needed. So, other than that, I think I'm out of time. So.
Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
How much time do we have left for Mr. Little? How much was that?
20 seconds.
20 seconds, okay. Mr. Little.
Okay. Very quickly, Your Honors, there was no finding of material change in circumstance with respect to reduction in parenting time. Further, and most importantly, there's no indication in the court's order that change is consistent with the children's best interests. It increases the contacts with the parents. It does nothing to address that issue. We would rely on our briefs, the remaining issues, and ask that the court reverse and remand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Little. The case will be taken under advisement, and we will issue a decision as quickly as we can.